The 1-2 again. Inside corner. The Royals, 2015 World Champions.
I told Dusty that would be the best cut he's ever heard on this show, and he agrees with me, I believe. Not bad.
Yeah, I've heard that one before. Yeah. That was yeah.
Never gets old.
No, no.
3 years ago yesterday, the Royals won the World
Series. But 3 years ago today, we played that cut for the first
time. That's right. Exactly. Well played. Royals 2015 World Series champions.
I didn't get much sleep that night.
No, I didn't either. We took a picture. We had recorded it on the DVR. I still got on DVR and go back and watch it whenever I feel bad about my Royals baseball team. Mm-hmm. That makes me feel better watching some of those games.
Oh, yeah.
And my wife and my oldest and myself took a selfie in front of Salvador Perez holding the World Series trophy in the locker room, and it almost looks like we're there.
Yeah.
And so we posted that. And so it was a memory on Facebook that popped up today showing that happened 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, man, that doesn't seem like it's been 3 years ago, but it has.
Part of the reason why you're probably up most of the night is the game didn't get over until it was almost time to make breakfast.
Yeah, well, that's...
That was a Sunday night, too.
And then I didn't fall asleep for a while after that. I was so pumped up.
Oh, it was 3:30 at least before I made it to bed.
I still couldn't believe it happened. That's the thing. I'm like, did this really actually happen? Like, when the final strike, I just, like, took it in. I didn't, like, jump up and down and go crazy. I just took it in just in disbelief still.
I know. That was the thing for me, too. It's just like, okay, that actually happened. Now how do I react?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do I do now?
Yeah, even though you knew they're up 3-1, they're up 7-2, you knew they were going to win it.
Yeah.
In the 12th inning, there with Wade Davis on the hill. But anyway, good memories for Royals fans. Make you feel good here in November. If you're a Mets fan, you don't like that cut at all. All right, Thursday night football. Boy, barn burner last night in San Fran. It was the Niners and the Raiders.
Off the play fake. Mullins rolls to his left, throws to his left. He's got Kittle, who walks into the end zone. Touchdown, San Francisco. It's 23-3. Niners on top. 12:36 to play in the third quarter. Mullins has 3 touchdown passes.
Yeah, how about those Raiders? Holy cow. Niners beat the Raiders last night 34-3 on Thursday Night Football. Guy had never played NFL football, lights him up like a Christmas tree. Nick Mullins, who played at Southern Miss. Remember Brett Favre played there. Favre had some comments on Twitter, you know, propping up his boy, Nick Mullins, who he probably never heard of before last night. Actually, he probably did.
Nick said he got a text from Brett right before he started the game saying, hey, good luck today and everything like that. So he broke all of his records down at Southern Miss anyway.
First rookie quarterback, first two possessions, goes right down 2 touchdown passes. Against the – does it count if it's against the Raiders? Isn't that JV football?
Yeah, he's – yeah, I would. If I was a 49ers fan, I'd be a little reserved.
Yeah.
Because the Raiders are giving up the most yards per play of any team ever, is what they said last night.
The Raiders look like a team that quit on the coach because their coach had quit on them because he's trading all these guys. And, of course, trading Mac before the year was not a good sign for the Raiders. And guess what? The Chiefs still get to play the Raiders twice, so there's 2 more buys on the schedule. Sweet. Of course, the Chiefs did lose to a winless Raider team on a Thursday night a few years back. So there is that. Okay, so Thursday Night Football is in the books. Let's look ahead now to high school football playoff action tonight. Let Dusty go through the schedule, and then we'll focus on our broadcast schedule and hear from some of the coaches.
Yeah, coming up this evening here on Katy Country 94, we've got Sylvan Lucas at Osborne, an 8-man Division II regional playoff game. KatyCountry94.com on Z96.3 through the lake tonight in 3A regional playoffs. It's Blood at Scott City. Also online video stream at NCKSSports.com. So that's coming up here this evening. And then Rock Hills back in the 8-man Division II playoffs is taking on Axtell this evening. That'll be on our sister station, KNDY FM 95.5 out of Marysville. That'll be KNDYRadio.com. So that's what's going on here on our stations tonight. Like I said, we'll preview those here in a bit. But other games that are going on here in the notable area on the 8-man Division II playoffs. If you're wondering what the cross matchup would be, Rock Hills Axtell winner will play Waverly Southern Coffee County winner on the east side, and then Hanover's hosting Frankfort, St. Paul home against Center tonight. Then on the west side, the cross matchup between Osborne Sylvan Lucas winner would be the winner of South Barber and Stafford. That game's in Kiowa tonight. Northern Valley at Dighton and Central Christian at Otis Bison. Really just one real game of note in 8-man Division I, Hoxie at Clifton Clyde tonight. That game will kick off at 6 o'clock this evening. Also, Victoria was in the area district there at St. Francis tonight at 6:30. In 1A, Smith Center back in action tonight as they will take on Sacred Heart for the second time this season. And that regional playoff game will be at 6 o'clock in Smith Center. And also from the Mid-Continent League, Plainville is hosting El Saline in the 1A playoffs here this evening. And in Class 2A, from the Mid-Continent League, Phillipsburg is hosting Lakin tonight. And the NCAA or Southeast of Saline goes to Riley County in the 2A playoffs. So that's a look at the games of note. On that west side of the bracket where Beloit's at, they would cross with Andale Chapman winner. And then also tonight, Smoky Valley hosting Heston and Pratt at home against Colby on the west side in the 3A playoffs. So that's a look at some of the main games of note for our area here tonight.
The Salina Sacred Heart is going to Smith Center, and they're playing at 6.
Apparently they just want to get it out of the way.
You know, I really wish Beloit Scott City would have played at 6.
Yeah, I saw that too, and I was like, what? They played their regular season game at 7. When the Sacred Heart and Smith Center played, it's like, why do they need to play the postseason game at 6?
I figured Scott City Beloit would probably be at 7, but I was hoping 6, because we're not going to get back till 1:30 in the morning. That would have helped a lot of people get back an hour sooner. But I don't know why it's, the road team has usually – can say we'd like to play at 6, and usually the other team won't have a big problem with it. So maybe there was an issue, maybe there wasn't. Maybe Beloit didn't want to play at 6. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that's what it was, that keep regular schedule and play at 7, but going to get back later. And so it's interesting. Salina, Sacred Heart, Smith Center isn't nearly the road trip that Beloit to Scott City is, and Beloit Scott City is going to play at 7, and Salina, Sacred Heart, Smith Center are going to play at 6, and that game will be over fairly quickly, running clock, I would think, second half.
It goes like the first time it will be, but...
Yeah, but you never know.
Yeah.
Never know, El Saline almost beat Smith Center. We didn't think that was going to happen. So Darren Sass, the head coach of Smith Center, talking about the need to be ready to go against Sacred Heart, a team they beat 55-0 earlier this year.
You know, they got a lot of athletes and a lot of guys that have been successful in a lot of other sports. And so I know they're going to play us much better than they did the previous game, just because they got a little more confidence. They won a couple in a row here. That close game with El Saline, I give them a lot of confidence, too. So our kids are going to have to understand that the scoreboard's going to be 0-0 at the beginning of this and come out and play our best game again.
Smith Center hosting Sacred Heart tonight at 6 o'clock, second round of the 1A playoffs. Tonight on KD Country 94, KDCountry94.com, Dusty Dinos will have the call for us from Osborne. Sylvan Lucas at Osborne, a rematch of a game played earlier this year that Osborne won 60-14 due to point rule late in the fourth quarter. And you can get this game on your KD Country 94 free app on your smartphone as well to listen outside the area. And Brandon Wise talks about how Osborne needs to match the Mustangs' physicality.
They're a physical team. They're a well-coached team. We're going to have to be as physical as we can be and be as disciplined as we can be. Try to match them physicality-wise and discipline-wise. And, that's how you're going to walk away with the win at the end of the night.
Penn Laboratory head coach Sylvan Lucas knows Osborne's capable of being multidimensional on offense.
You know, you say they want to run it, and they do, but that also sets up their play-action pass. They don't miss a lot of passes when they throw them, which makes it tough on a defense because you do have to respect it. They're playing the Miller kid at tight end, who's probably the best football player on the field. Kid's really good, so you got to watch him wherever he goes. But, yeah, they're going to try to run the ball. They're going to try to kind of establish the line of scrimmage and do what they want to do, and we got to find a way to stop that.
It's interesting. We have multiple coaches this year. The Holloway brothers get a lot of the pub, and they rightfully so. They're fast. They get big runs. They put up a lot of stats. But when you ask a lot of coaches who they think is the most complete player on the team, Cade Miller is the first name that comes to mind.
Yeah, and Ben Labrador was talking him up the first game, too. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he can play. He's playing end right now pretty much out of necessity, so they have somebody there. But, the early part of the season, he had a game where he ran for 90 yards on the ground rushing, and he can do that, too. We know how good he is defensively. He's a ball hawk. He's got loads of career interceptions. He had a 3-interception game not long ago, and he's just – he's good everywhere on the field, offense, defense, wherever you put him, he's going to be successful.
Sylvan Lucas Osborne and I on KD Country 94, KDCountry94.com. On our sister station on Marysville, KNDY FM 95.5, online, KNDYradio.com. And you can get the free app on your smartphone, 95.5 KNDY FM. You can download that so you can listen outside the listening area as well, which, of course, you would be for the most part since this originates out of Marysville. Is Rock Hills hosting Axtell Mankato tonight? And boy, Axtell, they've got a quarterback. This is amazing. These are video game numbers. The Bosin kid has thrown 44 touchdowns and just 2 interceptions this year. Coach McMillan talks about the high-flying Eagle passing game of Axtell.
We got got tested a little bit last week. We're definitely going to have our hands full this week. And the Bussin kid is definitely a great quarterback, and he's got the kid out there that, you know, they've set state records this year with just that 1-2 connection right there. He set the state record for receiving touchdowns. I think he might have the dual record for career receiving touchdowns too. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of talent on that side of the ball. Those two guys play really well together, and the rest of the six on both sides are just solid football players.
Well, if Axtell can slow down the Rock Hills running game, Rock Hills is going to have to be able to pass it. Last week they were able to pass it with Gillett back, but Axtell's a much better team than Donovan West. And then can you keep that high-flying Eagle offense on the sideline if you can run the ball? To me, I think this game for Rock Hills to have any chance of winning this game tonight, they have to be very successful at running the football.
I think they got to play a game like they did against St. John's Tipton, too, where it's a grind it out.
Right.
Keep it on the ground. Big plays aren't going to necessarily help you, I don't think, much in this game, because Axtell can come right away and do the same thing. They're probably going to take kind of what the recipe we've talked about with Sylvan Lucas against Osborne in a game like that, where you want to grind it out, limit the possessions for Axtell, and yeah, you got to have success in the run game. And you know, against a team like that, you're going to have to be multidimensional too. You're not going to be able to just run the football and have success, because I don't think you're going to be able to have the success that you want in that realm.
Axtell at Rock Hills tonight. Pre-game 6:30 for all our broadcasts this evening on the radio stations. That'll be in KNDY FM 95.5. Online, KNDYradio.com, and get that free app on your smartphone, 95.5 KNDY FM. Rock Hills hosting Axtell. Could be a lot of points in that one. I get the long road trip tonight, Beloit at Scott City. This is going to be a breeze of a road trip compared to last week going to Hugoton. I'm just going to tell you right now. At least you can get on I-70 and go. Beloit at Scott City. It's a rematch of a game played earlier this year that Scott City won 55-12. Beloit was down 7-6 late in the first quarter and scored a touchdown against Scott City, which is a pretty big deal because Scott City's only allowed 5.7 points per game this year. Beloit did get a couple of touchdowns. Grant Arrowsmith hurt him with the running game. Tate Alvers struggled in that game because they keyed on him because he was coming off a 264-yard performance at Goodland. And Beloit has more injuries to deal with tonight, and we'll tell you more about those on the pregame show tonight at 6:30, and then kickoff at 7 on Z96.3 The Lake. KDCountry94.com, and get the free app on smartphones. That's the Z96.3 The Lake app. You can watch it live on the video stream at NCKSSports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. 6-3 at Beloit at 9-0 Scott City. And Jim Turner, head coach of Scott City, talks about meeting Beloit for a second time.
You know, you don't like playing people a second time around because you just never know what's going to happen. You know, Beloit's got some really good athletes, so they're kind of a little bit scary with their talent that could get loose on you. So we have to be really fundamental and play solid. And, you know, I think high school teams and, you know, even upper level, you kind of get concerned about if you beat a team once already and, you know, trying to keep your kids focused on the task at hand and taking care of business again the second time around.
From the Beloit perspective, what do they need to fix the second time around? Here's Coach Gober to explain.
First off, offensively, you know, our kids were very frustrated after that game because when you watch film, you know, there were some massive, massive holes that we created at the point of attack. We just, you know, for whatever reason, we're just out of sync. You know, one person blocking the wrong way on the backside, which leaves a free D lineman just to come make a play, or bad technique on the backside. And just, you know, that was the whole game for us offensively and defensively. It just was, you know, we just weren't in sync. You know, our kids know that, and they look at the film, and they know that we're a much better football team than we showed that night. So we're really excited to get after it.
Beloit at Scott City this evening, and Beloit make that long road trip, about a 3.5-hour drive out there to Scott City. We did that back in 2013. And believe it or not, the last playoff win Beloit had until last week was at Scott City. Sub-state finals in 2013, then went to the championship against Silver Lake. Hard to believe Beloit went 5 years without a playoff win, but that is, in fact, the case. Didn't seem like it had been that long, but Beloit did get the win over Hugoton last week. Beloit only allowed 74 yards of total offense to Hugoton last week, and Scott City only allowed 72 yards of offense to Nickerson last week. Scott City's always going to one-up Beloit. You just one-up them. But Scott City is a team that they don't give up a lot of points. And you can just see when you're on the field before the game when the players warm up, you can tell every single one of those kids hits the weight room hard. I mean, they don't have any gigantic, huge guys, but they're all, I mean, they're ripped, built. They have depth. They're going to be a tough out in the playoffs. Although, Andale lurking for either one of these teams in the next round of the playoffs, and Andale's the number one team in Class 3A. Beloit at Scott City tonight. It'll be a tough chore. Beloit trying to pull off the upset tonight against the third-ranked team in the state on Z96.3 Lake, and the live video stream at nckssports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. All right, we turn our attention to college football, where this weekend Kansas State will try to right the ship. That's what Coach Snyder mentioned. Don't know if the ship has been in this type of condition for a very long time. And last week, Coach Snyder's team blown out by Oklahoma. Here was Coach Snyder talking about the effort. Asked about the effort after he watched the film of the Oklahoma game.
It would be 100%, and I can assure you that. You know, we didn't compete as you indicate, as certainly as well as we're capable of, not nearly as much as well as I would like. And I think, you know, that's not just me saying that. I think our players understand that as well. They were embarrassed by it, as everyone was. And then again, all of this, you can't take away the fact that Oklahoma is an extremely talented, well-coached, fine football team. That I think goes without saying. But we're capable of being a far better football team.
So then, Coach Snyder was asked about his plans and thoughts on whether or not he's going to come back next year or not.
I don't think about those things until the season is concluded. I've answered that question 1,000 times the same way.
Yeah, so he's sick of that question. Doesn't want to hear about it. I don't blame him. I get it. But the question has to be asked by the media, and especially after that performance last week. Riley Gates at GoPowerCat.com, our guest every Tuesday on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Heineken Electric and Hanson Auction and Realty. And what needs to happen? If Bill Snyder comes back, Riley says changes are needed if Coach Snyder does come back next year.
You know, I think you'd have to present changes. You know, what's he going to do differently to make it better? Because at the end of the, you know, you can say, hey, this is Bill Snyder's program. He built it. His name's on the stadium. There's a statue of him. But at the end of the day, this is K-State's football program, not Bill Snyder's football program, you know. Mm-hmm. And while he has somewhat earned the right to decide when he hangs it up, he has not earned the right to stay as ever long as he wants when it's going down. And I think that's the tough conversation that Gene Taylor's going to have. And, you know, it's kind of funny. That's what a lot of fans want right now. They want Gene Taylor to say, Coach, thank you for everything you've done, but we need to go a different direction. That's what they want Gene Taylor to do. And you know, in my limited time knowing Gene Taylor, knowing the way he works, he just doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to tell Bill Snyder he needs to go. Maybe, like I said, work with him. But it's funny because I think John Curry would be a guy that would easily do that, you know. And if you're a K-State fan, now you're kind of thinking, maybe we would like to have John Curry back. So it's going to be – I don't envy being in Gene Taylor's shoes right now because I wouldn't want to have that conversation with Coach. I know it's going to be a difficult one, but it's definitely one that needs to be had. Whether or not it's retiring or whether it's coming back for another season, you know, I'm not sure what direction it's going to have, but it certainly sounds like there's a lot of smoke right now towards the conversation being about this one being the last year.
Well, that's going to be the talk for each and every week, especially if K-State loses. They have TCU coming up this weekend. TCU is struggling. They lost to Kansas last week despite having 200 more yards of total offense. They had the infamous butt fumble that cost them the game against KU. Jayhawks finally caught a break. More on KU in a moment. K-State an 8-point underdog at Fort Worth against TCU, but four of the six games in this series, the last six games, four have been won by the road team, including TCU last year at K-State 26-6 in what was not a good performance by Kansas State. So you got two teams that are very upset. TCU, or you hope they're upset. TCU upset they lost to Kansas. That's embarrassing. You lose to Kansas in football in this day and age, it's embarrassing. And TCU, I'm sure, is going to be fired up for this game coming up this weekend. They, too, have to win some games to be bowl eligible. They're in the exact same boat K-State is. K-State, KU, and TCU, believe it or not, all three have the same exact records. 3-5 overall, 1-4 in the Big 12. If you had told somebody that before the season, a lot of people would have bet a lot of money. That wouldn't even been possible. If you bet that was going to happen, you would have made a lot of money and probably could have retired. But that's why they play the games. And so K-State's got to go to TCU, and we'll see which one maybe can salvage a bowl bid, possibly. Could be on the line between these two programs. And Bill Snyder, this is an interesting note. He was officially hired at a football press conference on November 24th, 1988. Exactly 30 years to the day later, Kansas State will play the last regular season game this year in Ames versus Iowa State. Will it be the finale for the legend? Think about that for a second. If Bill Snyder decides after that game to step down, that would be exactly 30 years since he was introduced at a press conference at Kansas State University.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, I guess.
Symmetry there.
Yeah. I don't even know where to go with all of it, to be completely honest with you, but it's the easiest way to tell the state of K-State football right now is what you said. They're an 8-point underdog to a team that just lost to KU.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're an 8-point underdog to a team that just lost to KU mm-hmm. in football.
That doesn't have their starting quarterback, kicked off their best player off their team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's.
Yeah.
I don't even add to that because like we've talked so much about it that it's just like, oh my goodness.
Let's just move on. K-State at TCU, 2:30 kick coming up on Saturday.
Will they be a favorite next week against KU if they lose?
Yes, they should be. I don't care what happens this week. They should be. Although if KU would win this week against Iowa State and K-State loses to TCU, KU might be a favorite. It's possible.
Yeah.
I just don't see KU beating Iowa State, which, speaking of that, David Beatty, head coach of the Jayhawks, his team trying to build off the TCU win.
Those goals continue to set themselves. I mean, now we're moving to that next level of back-to-back Big 12 wins. Getting that first Big 12 win for the season under our belt was big. We obviously would want that earlier in the season, but it didn't happen. So you just keep working until you get that breakthrough. And we were able to get that breakthrough last week. We've got to make that kind of a pillar. You know, I said that a few years ago when we played Texas. You know, those games can be pillars that you can talk back on. You can say that was one of the big turning points if you continue to build on it. If you don't, then it just becomes, you know, a game that you play.
Now, Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, was with us yesterday, as he is every Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency in Beloit. And he says it's possible we could be looking back at this TCU win for Kansas last weekend as maybe a chance for KU to turn the corner.
A lot of folks, I think, gave up couple of weeks ago, and I get it. You know, things were bad. 4-game losing skid. You fire your OC mid-season. First week without the OC, it didn't look any better offensively, and folks started to worry and wonder. But here's a team now that still has a lot of opportunity in front of it. Showed last week that they can put it all together in all three phases, and if they can somehow replicate that this week and next, I think we look back on this season and say, wow, that was a season of great progress. That's where the corner started to turn.
I think David Beatty has to win 5 games to have a chance of keeping his job. I think if he goes 4-8, that's not good enough. The only thing there would be if he goes 4-8, but he beats K-State. I think maybe there's a chance he keeps his job. 3 more wins than you had a year prior, and you end up getting a win over your in-state rival, K-State. But then that could be held against you because K-State's really struggling. So, you know, how much stock do you put in beating your in-state rival when they're down? Yeah, because right now K-State is down. I still think he's got to win 5 games. I do believe that. And I don't think he's going to. And call me Debbie Downer, but I don't think they're going to beat Iowa State this week. Iowa State's playing good football. I still am not convinced they're going to beat K-State. K-State, Bill Snyder, find a way to usually pummel Kansas, although it's been a little bit closer the last couple years, at least more respectable. And then Kansas has Oklahoma on the road and Texas on Senior Day. And you can't count on beating Texas like you did a few years ago. It's not the Charlie Strong years. And I will say this. Kansas did beat TCU 27-26. But it's a fluky win. I mean, they only had 300 yards of offense. I hear this. Well, everything came together. Well, your quarterback didn't turn it over, threw a couple touchdown passes. That's nice. You only had 300 yards of offense, which in today's age isn't very good. And they gave up 500 on defense to a team that has a backup quarterback. And you're at home, and it took a fumble inside the 5 in the final minute for you to actually win the ball game. It's somewhat of a fluky win. Now, I will say this. That win maybe makes up for the win they should have had against Nicholls State if Puka Williams would have played, and we still to this day don't know why Puka was ineligible for that first game. So maybe it evens out. Or you can look at it as a KU fan and go, well, if we beat Nicholls State, which we should have, and we had Puka, we would have, we'd have 4 wins.
Yeah.
Kansas would be 4-4 right now. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
They would be. They have a chance to put together a winning streak in the Big 12. They still haven't won a road game in years in the Big 12. And you look at the road games, that would be at Kansas State and at Oklahoma. And then they host Texas at the end of the year. They host Iowa State this week. The KU is a 14.5-point underdog. Pregame at 10:30 on Z96.3 Lake. Your home for the Jayhawks, North Central Kansas, coming up tomorrow morning. I don't like Kansas's chances of winning this game. What about you?
No. I'm on Iowa State for sure.
Yep, I'm on that bandwagon.
Yep.
So we'll see if Kansas can surprise us. You picked KU to beat TCU last week.
Yes.
This week you're jumping off the wagon.
Yes.
I see how.
Iowa State is not in shambles like TCU was.
No, they're not. Rest of the Big 12 slate this week. Tomorrow, 11 a.m., Oklahoma State at Baylor. Watch Oklahoma State lose that game after the big win over Texas. West Virginia at Texas, that's the marquee game in the Big 12 at 2:30 on Fox. Winner of that game has a leg up to face Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game, although if Oklahoma would stumble at Lubbock against Texas Tech, that's at 7 o'clock tomorrow night on ABC, and it has happened before. Then you never know. You could end up having a two-loss team coming out of the Big 12 and eliminate anybody from being in the college football playoff. Central Florida is trying to make it a college football playoff. They are 12th in the rankings. They are undefeated still after a win over Temple last night, 52-40. Other notable top 25 games, Louisville is at number 2 Clemson tomorrow. Nebraska is at number 10 Ohio State. Nebraska is an 18-point underdog. I'll say this. I think Nebraska is going to put up points against Ohio State. I think they're going to move the ball. I think they have confidence after a couple of wins. And I think they could give Ohio State a tough run. The only problem is Ohio State's coming off a loss and 2 weeks to prepare. Had Ohio State come off a big win and they didn't have 2 weeks to prepare, I would be tempted to say Nebraska is going to be right there to the final gun. But that prevents me from going that far. But I think Nebraska will be much more respectable at Ohio State than they were when they went to Ann Arbor because they didn't have confidence then. They do have some now. And those younger players are getting better with each and every game, including their quarterback.
Yeah. Their quarterback didn't play in that game at Ann Arbor either. So.
Yeah, he did. Adrian Martinez did.
Was he playing in that game?
Yes, he did.
I didn't know he was back by then already.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah. Played. Trust me, I watched it.
Yeah. I watched part of it, but I thought the backup was playing still.
He came in for it was so bad, they put in the backup. To protect Martinez.
Yeah.
That Nebraska was down, 40-something to nothing at halftime?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I tuned in too late.
they had the walk-on in the second half because they wanted to protect Martinez from getting hurt.
Yeah.
But Martinez did play in a game, and it was brutal. It was brutal. But he's much better now, and I think Michigan's defense is probably better than Ohio State's. So we'll see. Nebraska 18-point underdog in that one. Number 20, Texas A&M at Auburn. And we mentioned Iowa State number 24 at KU. 11 a.m. tomorrow. Big game in SEC, number 6, Georgia at number 9, Kentucky. We mentioned number 13, West Virginia at number 17, Texas. Number 16, Iowa's at Purdue. And Penn State, number 14, at number 5, Michigan. That's a huge game, especially for Michigan. Because if Michigan wins, LSU or Alabama loses, then Michigan is slid above one of those teams on the playoff rank, especially if LSU loses. And that is the big game this week. Alabama at LSU. It's prime time on CBS at 7 o'clock. Number 1, Crimson Tide versus number 3, LSU. And another big game, number 4 Notre Dame is at Northwestern. Everybody thinks Notre Dame's just going to run the table here and be undefeated. Northwestern's a good football team at 5-3. I would love to see Northwestern knock off Notre Dame. I don't know if it'll happen, but it will be at Northwestern. So let's ask you real quick here, Alabama, LSU. Anybody going to pick LSU to win this game? Because it seems like LSU always finds a way, even when they weren't quite as good as Alabama, that their defense keeps them in games and it kind of be a slugfest. And Alabama, you know, it seems like they usually come out on top, but it always seems to be very close, sometimes very ugly.
Yeah, I'm picking Bama.
But you're still picking Bama. Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't convince you to change.
No. Okay, right. Not this time.
Alabama hasn't played anybody yet.
No, they haven't.
I mean, everybody gets all rung up on, stuck on how great Alabama is.
It actually happens quite a bit.
Right, exactly. Last year they hadn't played anybody, and who did they trip up against? Was that Auburn?
Yeah.
They tripped up against, I believe it was.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and they got beat by, I think, a couple touchdowns. So, Alabama, they got Tua, and he's got 28 touchdown passes, no interceptions, but they haven't played anybody. The fact that he hasn't thrown a pick tells me they really haven't played anybody. And this is going to be a Baton Rouge. This place is going to be nasty. It's going to be crazy. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to pick LSU to win by a field goal. Alabama's going to make a couple turnovers. They're going to miss a field goal because when they lose, they usually have a bad day kicking the football. And LSU will make it real interesting where two SEC teams get in the playoff. It'll be the worst scenario for Oklahoma and others. And Alabama will lose and yet still be in the top four when the playoff rankings release next week.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
You got a score prediction? 9-6, 10-7?
No, it'll be higher scoring than that. I'll say Alabama's defense isn't all that either, by the way. I'm going to say... How about, I'll say it's a little higher scoring than some people might think. I'll go field goal, let's go 30-27, LSU over Alabama. 30-27.
Wasn't the year they played in the national championship, the regular season, it was 9-6. I thought I was thinking
and Alabama missed like two or three field goals.
Championship game was like 21-0 or something like that.
It was an ugly rematch. I remember that. But LSU didn't have any offense at all that year. They have more offense this year. And Alabama's defense isn't as good. So we shall see. It's at Baton Rouge. We should make note of that. MIAA coming up tomorrow. Noteworthy games. Fort Hays State at Northwest Missouri State. There's an outside chance Fort Hays State could still make the playoffs, but they have to beat Northwest in order to do that. So last year they beat Northwest. I guarantee you Northwest is ready for Fort Hays. It'll be an interesting rematch there. Washburn is at Pittsburgh State. Missouri Southern is at Emporia State. National Football League. It is Mahomes versus Mayfield, the rematch NFL style. The last time these two guys met on the football field, Mayfield played for Oklahoma, Mahomes played for Texas Tech, and here's what they did. The final score of that game was 66-59 in favor of Oklahoma. All that Baker Mayfield did was throw for 545 yards, 27 of 36, seven touchdown passes, a school or NCAA record. Patrick Mahomes, all he did was throw it 88 times. Completed 52 for 734 yards and 819 yards of total offense, which is still a record. So what shall we see coming up this Sunday in Cleveland? Pregame 11 o'clock on Z96.3 Lake. Kickoff at noon. It's the Chiefs 7-1 versus the 2-5-1 Browns, who have lost so many close games. Here's Andy Reid on playing the Browns after they cleaned house. They fired offensive coordinator and former Chiefs head coach Todd Haley. They fired the head coach Hugh Jackson. And their interim coach is defensive coordinator Greg Williams. Here's Coach Reid talking about the Browns without those coaches.
If you go through the process and you're honest with that every week, then it doesn't matter what happens on the peripheral part of things. So you control what you control. We had no control over that or anything else that happens with any team. But we can control the process. We can control how we work each day as coaches and players. I think it's important that we just put our focus there and really not worry about the other stuff.
Earlier this week, Andy Reid was having a press conference with the media, and Hugh Jackson had been fired. The news, he already knew that, Andy Reid did. And so they're asking him about him facing the Browns and what changes when the head coach is fired. How do you prepare? And Andy Reid was in the middle of talking, and he said, well, the coordinators are the same. He said not a lot changes, even though the coach changes. And then Seren Petro, our good buddy from 810WHB, said, he interrupted and said, well, actually, we're just getting this off the wire. He was looking at his phone. They've also fired Todd Haley, the offensive coordinator. And he's like, well, then. that will change a few things. It'll be interesting to see the game plan for the Browns. Their best game plan would be just like any other team. Run the football. Do play action passing with Mayfield. And your defense, just try to slow down the Chiefs and keep that Chiefs offense on the sideline. And here's Baker Mayfield about Patrick Mahomes. Now, let me set this up. We mentioned Texas Tech Oklahoma played a few years back in college. Final score 66-59. They both went nuts passing the football. Baker Mayfield actually was the one that showed Patrick Mahomes around campus on Mahomes' visit when he was considering Texas Tech. Because remember, Mayfield was a walk-on at Texas Tech. So they know each other. And here's Baker talking about Patrick Mahomes.
Coming from the Texas Tech system, there's always your skeptic, you know, about people doubting the fact that all he did was sit back there and throw the ball. I mean, he threw it 88 times in our game. So, but when it comes down to it, throwing the ball is throwing the ball, and he's really good at it. Yeah. He's been very talented. Everybody's known that since he got to Texas Tech. You know, I hosted Pat when he was on his official visit, and we knew what type of athlete he was. He's a two-sport guy, has it in his genes. Dad was a baseball player, can throw from any angle, can make plays and extend it. And he's not easy to bring down, and I've seen that firsthand. He's a big guy with a strong arm. Patrick has always been a easygoing guy. That's why those teammates that he's always had play for him so hard. He gets their respect, not just based on talent. That's the easy way to earn the respect, but just based on who he is as a person. And so he just has that presence about him that you want to be around. You gravitate towards that, and so it's fun to see him grow. Well, I would absolutely not say that it's going to be Brady Manning right now, but that's humbling to be in that conversation, you know. But we'll see. You know, if he keeps playing that way, there's no reason why it wouldn't be on his side of things, and now I just got to pick up my side and play better.
The Cleveland defense early in the year played really well. They're not playing good football right now at all. They've had some injuries. Now they have a coaching change. Mayfield has not played very well the last couple of weeks, turning the ball over. But he's had to deal with the conflict between his head coach and his offensive coordinator and how they want to use Baker Mayfield. The reason these coaches were fired is because of Baker Mayfield. And let me explain. It's not because Baker didn't get along with him. It's not that Baker said, I need these coaches to go. John Dorsey has invested number one overall pick in Baker Mayfield. John Dorsey believes in Baker Mayfield. The organization believes in Baker Mayfield. And when you have two guys fighting over how they should use Baker Mayfield here and there, that's not healthy for the team. And so what John Dorsey decided to do is, I'm going to get rid of both. Instead of one, I'll just get rid of both. Which is interesting because they hired Haley in offseason. He lasted 8 games as offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
They had the Hard Knocks series on HBO. You could tell then there was all kinds of issues with Haley and Hugh Jackson. And how do you respect a head coach that had went 0-16 last year?
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing you keep your job. And 3-36 after 2 wins this year. So they cleaned house. So the hard thing to quantify in this game is how the Browns going to play under a new head coach. Do they really like Greg Williams? Do they love Greg Williams? Because you see guys become the interim coaches, and these players love the guy that's the interim coach, and they play above what they normally would, and then go back to the way they were in a week or two. Or are they just like, yeah, this is a mess. It's the Browns, and we're going to have a new coach next year, and they go through the motions a little bit? I don't know. And then the Chiefs, you got to factor this in. They've had a lot of big games lately. I mean, the Broncos is a rivalry game. That was a tough game. The Bengals was prime time. New England was prime time. And Jacksonville before that, that was a big game, AFC game of the week. And prior to that was Monday night at Denver. So that is 5 big-time games you had to get up emotionally for. It's hard to get up for a 2-5-1 team who just cleaned house in their coaching staff against a rookie quarterback on the road at Cleveland. Maybe that Baker Mayfield is the quarterback will get the Chiefs fired up. But we know the defense of the Chiefs doesn't play nearly as well on the road, and the Chiefs will be on the road. Kickoff at noon coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm actually a little more nervous for this game than some of these games that you just mentioned because of that. You know, you just don't know how the other team is going to react to all the stuff that all the turmoil that happened within the locker room and within the organization over the last week. You just don't know how they'll react. Greg Williams is a guy that I would think it might be tough for him to gain a lot of respect from a lot of guys just based on what he's done in the past, but it might be a different deal here this year. You know, it might be Browns really like the guy. They want to play for him. They want to make sure he gets another opportunity maybe here. And so you just don't know how that's going to go. And that makes you nervous. And it makes you nervous that, oh, heck, they cleaned house. Now we're going to play more free. Baker's going to play more free because he can just do what he wants. And whatever this guy's going to tell him to do, the new coordinator, just to be like, okay, just go out and play. And be Baker Mayfield, that concerns you a little bit. I still think the Chiefs are going to win, but I'm not as confident about it as maybe I would have been had it been last week when all the turmoil was still going on.
Right. Well, the Chiefs win their 13th straight coin toss. Stay tuned. It's amazing. 12 straight coin tosses they've won. They always defer. Last week was the first time this year they didn't score in their first possession. And, you know, Greg Williams, typically defensive guys that are head coaches want to shorten the game, run the football, and they don't want to put the ball in peril. And you have a rookie quarterback on top of all that. I could see the Browns' game plan is, hey, we got to go out and get a lead early. So they love to have the football first. Pound it right at the Chiefs because they're not good rush defense at all, especially on the road. And get a lead and then play really good defense and hopefully hold on to it. And have their quarterback be a game manager. I could see Greg Williams wanting to do that. And whether or not that's the game plan, I don't know. The injury report for the Chiefs, Justin Houston did practice yesterday a little bit, limited. Don't know what his status will be for Sunday. For me, sit him out this week. Hopefully you don't need him against Cleveland. Eric Berry, shocker, didn't practice. Anthony Hitchens, limited participation. Don't know what his status will be for the game. Once again, I think if you can hold him out, you hold him out for this week. Mitch Morse did not practice. Frank Zombo did not practice. Morse still with a concussion, so the Chiefs on the third-string center righter for a second straight week. Tyreek Hill, groin injury. Full practice Wednesday. Thursday, yesterday, limited participation. I would guess that's just a precaution and that he'll be ready to go. Travis Kelce has a bit of a shoulder injury, but he's dealing with it. He's been fully practicing. So Chiefs and the Browns. And the interesting thing here, too, another subplot. We talk about everything that crosses over. John Dorsey, former GM of the Chiefs, now the GM of the Browns. Todd Haley, who had been there and former Chiefs head coach, was the OC. He was fired. And we talk about Mahomes and Mayfield and so forth and so on. Well, there's another subplot, and that's Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt grew up 19 miles away from Cleveland. And Kareem Hunt is giving back. His mother delivered 100 tickets to an auditorium full of cheering students earlier this week at his Willoughby South High School, and they gave him to the high school football team. So his alma mater, his high school football team and coaches are paid for to be there by Kareem Hunt, and they're all Browns fans for the most part. Yeah. So they're going to be there, and as their head coach said, the high school coach, Willoughby South, he said, "We love Kareem Hunt. We're so thankful he did this for our team. It's really cool. We'll be cheering for Kareem Hunt to run for a whole bunch of yards, and the Browns win 49-48.
Yeah.
Because they're still going to probably cheer for the Browns. That sounds weird. A Chiefs guy buys you all the tickets. Traitors. But no, they're Browns fans. Most of them are. Okay, NFL action this week. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. An interesting game in that division. Baltimore needs to win that, or they're in big hole. And Pittsburgh in good shape. Pittsburgh 4-2-1. Still no Le'Veon Bell. He has 11 days to report to the Steelers. If he doesn't report in 11 days, he will not have a full season of participation and thus cannot be a free agent this offseason. He could be franchise tagged again. So if he wants to be a free agent at the end of this year and negotiate with any team he wants, unless the Steelers are going to waive the franchise tag and everything else, he has 11 days to make up his mind. And if he sits it all out, the Steelers still would have the rights to him.
Yeah.
Something tells me he surely is going to come back in the next 11 days.
If I wanted to have a future in the league, I think I probably would.
I agree. Chicago at Buffalo, Tampa Bay at Carolina, Carolina 5-2. Jets at Miami, Detroit at Minnesota, Atlanta at Washington, Redskins are 5-2 under Alex Smith. Houston at Denver, Houston 5-3, winners of 5 in a row, Denver 3-5. Demaryius Thomas was just traded for the Broncos of the Texans, and now he'll be playing against the Broncos in Denver. That's a cool story.
Yeah.
Some big games. The Chargers at Seattle. Seattle's now 4-3. Chargers 5-2. If you're a Chiefs fan, you cheer for the Seahawks. The Rams at the Saints. Gigantic game at 3:25 on Sunday. That could determine home field advantage in the NFC. And let me tell you something. The Saints need home field advantage more than the Rams. The Rams don't even have a home field advantage. Do you see that Packer game? The Rams had to go on a silent count at home because there were so many Packer fans there. And we've seen the Chiefs out there take on the Chargers in the stadium, and there's more Chiefs fans there. The Rams are going to have to play a lot of their games neutral site or road games, and they can win anywhere. The Saints usually need that dome. They need home field. So this is a gigantic game for the Saints at home against the Rams Sunday at 3:25.
Yeah. I had that Rams-Packers game on, and then something happened and started screaming in the crowd. I'm like, what the Rams doing? Oh, the Packers just scored a touchdown.
They're all green in the stands. Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of Green Bay, they're at New England. Big game Sunday night football. And if you're the Chiefs, you got to cheer hard for the Packers in that one. Packers 3-3-1. New England 6-2. Winners of 5 in a row. And, boy, kind of a dud Monday night football. Tennessee at the Cowboys. Both teams are 3-4. Hey, college basketball. We're overlapping the seasons now. The number one Kansas Jayhawks, a game you could have heard on Z96.3 Lake last night. They pull away eventually over Washburn, 79-52. Former KU player and assistant coach Brett Ballard, now the head coach at Washburn. Dedrick Lawson, 18 points in 23 minutes on 7-10 shooting. He hit 4 3-pointers. And Udoka Azubuike had 17 points. And here's the key, 5 of 6 from the foul line. And if you saw his foul shot now, it is so much better than last year. He has really worked on it. Coach Self's really worked with him on it. LeGerald Vick added 16 points as KU pulled away. So KU, a test right off the bat. Tuesday night to open up the regular season at Indianapolis, the State Farm Champions Classic against number 10 Michigan State. That'll be, I believe it's 6 o'clock tip and 5:30 pregame, I believe, on Tuesday on Z96.3 The Lake. Kansas State, women's basketball team, they started their exhibition season last night and they needed a layup by Peyton Williams to win over Fort Hays in an exhibition game 48-46. That's kind of ugly to start the year. By the way, let's give a shout-out to Fort Hays State and the Lady Tigers. They went to Lawrence for an exhibition game and lost in overtime to KU. Former K-Stater Lainey Page plays for Fort Hays State. Then she and the Tigers went to Manhattan yesterday, and Fort Hays State lost by just 2. Fort Hays State could be really good this year. Or KU and K-State women aren't very good. We shall see. I think K-State women actually should be improved from last year. And then the K-State men ranked 12th or 13th, depending on the poll you look at. They'll open up exhibition play tonight against Pittsburgh State, against my Gorillas. That's at 7 o'clock tonight there in Manhattan. Your first chance to really see K-State in full action. The K-State men's basketball team, high expectations for them. It's hard to believe, but we got K-State fans I've heard from saying, can't wait for basketball season. It's been a long time since we've said that. And can you believe it? It's a Bruce Weber coach team you're excited about, K-State fans.
I didn't think it was going to happen. Bill Snyder and Bruce Weber at the same time, coaching at the same time, and we're looking forward to basketball.
Isn't that crazy? Bruce Weber's more popular than Bill Snyder right now.
Yeah.
Isn't? I mean, who would have thought? Who would have thunk it?
I'm not a big fan of talking about it, to be completely honest with you.
Are we in an alternate universe? What's going on here? And finally, put a little bow finally on the Maryland story. We've been talking about it all week long, just the travesty and how pathetic the situation is at Maryland. The chair of Maryland's Board of Regents is stepping down after backlash from the initial decision to retain former head football coach DJ Durkin. Brady said in a statement, "In recent days, I've become the public face." I call him farce as well. Public face of both the board and its decisions related to these matters. In my estimation, my continued presence on the board will inhibit its ability to move Maryland's higher education agenda forward, and I have no interest in serving as a distraction from that important work. Accordingly, I'll step down from the Board of Regents immediately. Of course, Durkin was reinstated as head football coach on Tuesday, then fired Wednesday by President Wallace Lowe and the AD. Interesting statement I just read there by Mr. Brady. Let me say this again. He says, and I quote, "In my estimation, my continued presence on the board will inhibit its ability to move Maryland's higher education agenda forward. I have no interest in serving as a distraction from that important work. So accordingly, I'll step down from the Board of Regents immediately." But you never thought that's exactly the situation you had by reinstating your head football coach? I mean, that's exactly what he should have said in regards to, "We decided not to bring back DJ Durkin because, in my estimation, his continued presence with the football program would inhibit his ability to move the football program agenda forward further, and I have no interest in him serving as a distraction of that important work." I mean, seriously, all you have to do is move DJ Durkin's name into that, flip it out, and it's the exact same statement. That's what he should have released, and then he'd still be the board or regent's chair.
That's the thing right here is, like, he could have avoided every little bit of it. Like, you wouldn't even have to make your own statement. Just say, nope, he's not coming back. Nothing, there's no backlash. Nothing would have happened. You just say, yeah, we did our investigation. We recommend that you terminate his employment here. And that's not what happened. And so now he's got to step down because they didn't make the right decision. It might not even been his decision.
Yeah.
He might have been just the chair that agreed with what everything else said, everybody else said, and the recommendations that they gave. But if he just says, off the bat, I'm the spokesperson here, we're just not going to do it. We're going to terminate him. It's over. He's still got a job and doesn't have to worry about any of these statements. This is like,
they're so out of touch with
all the
extra situation.
Stuff that happens on these kind of things like this.
Unnecessary.
Like a Baylor president that has to resign because of everything that happened there. Just do the right thing right away. You don't have to worry about it.
I mean,
there's still going to be backlash, but you're not going to lose your job over it because you did the right thing once you found out what the problem in the situation was.
The fact that the Board of Regents, including the chair, are so out of touch with the situation and didn't know the pulse of what's going on at the actual university and on campus and their instructors and the student body and everything else shows that they should clean house on the entire Board of Regents, to be quite honest with you. Anybody that was in favor of bringing back DJ Durkin should all step aside.
Yeah.
But I will give the chair credit for stepping down.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? He did the right thing. And that's what DJ Durkin should have done when this all broke.
Yeah.
And that would have all avoided it.
Yeah.
So, but he's only partially to blame. No, DJ Durkin could have been the big man in this whole thing. You know what? I hired this coach, the strength and condition coach, and did all these horrible things, eventually led to the death of a player, even though trainers and others may have not handled things right. We should have never got to that point. And I'm in charge, and I'm the CEO of this company and this football program as head football coach, and I am culpable, and I'm responsible for the culture. And so immediately I'm going to resign as a head coach of Maryland. And that would have maybe given him a chance to get a job later on. DJ Durkin's a young coach. Now, I don't know. I think he's going to be toxic.
Yeah.
So these guys, it's just like when a guy or a gal, they cheat on their spouse. They lie about it, and it gets worse and worse and worse. Or a politician has a skeleton in the closet. They lie and they lie and they lie. I mean, look at Marion Jones. I don't cheat. I don't cheat. I don't cheat. A-Rod. I don't cheat. I don't cheat. And then eventually you come out.
Lance Armstrong.
Okay, Lance Armstrong would be a great example. I guarantee I don't do that. This is a travesty. They're making this stuff up. They're out to get me. And then eventually you have to fess up because the evidence points that you did it. And so you fess up. Well, you're way too late. You made it so much more worse for yourself. If you just would have fessed up immediately, people would have had a little bit more respect for you, and it will go away a little bit quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it a lot worse. And that's what Maryland did. They exacerbated the whole situation, made it so much worse. It starts with the head coach for not doing the right thing right off the bat. And certainly the strength and conditioning coach is really responsible, and he lost his job over it, rightfully so. But the Board of Regents, are crying out loud, man. The fact that the president and the AD had to overrule you basically a day later and say, okay, this is the wrong decision, and we're letting go of the coach Durkin, the Board of Regents completely out of touch reality. They apparently didn't talk to anybody other than themselves within a room.
Mm-hmm.
Sad. But at least the coach isn't there anymore. And they can move on with the interim coach who's been very successful, 5-3. They got Michigan State at home this week. And I hope the fans rally around those kids and that coach And then you have the Board of Regents chair stepping aside, which was the right move, no question. Okay, high school football tonight, Beloit at Scott City, 3A regional playoffs. That'll be on Z96.3 Lake, KDCountry94.com. Live video stream at NCKSSports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. Tonight on KDCountry94, KDCountry94.com, it's Sylvan Lucas Osborne from Osborne, 6:30 pregame. Dusty Dinos will have the call there. And on KNDY FM 95.5, KNDYRadio.com, and on your free app on smartphones, KNDY 95.5, KNDY FM. That's a free app. Just found it on your phones and download it. You can listen to Axtell at Rock Hills, 6:30 pregame, 8-man Division II regional playoffs. We'll try to give you scores during our broadcast of some of those games and other games of note, maybe in our post-game shows or throughout our broadcast tonight on both KD Country 94 and Z96.3 The Lake. To look at the complete brackets and schedules and athletes of the week and the games for tonight, it's all there for you at nckssports.com. Have a great weekend, everyone.